It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mass.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mass.
Q-U-I-T quit.
Okay, thank you. No, spell out for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hour number two, Felger and Mass. Making some football thoughts here. Here's one. Really a follow-up from a lot of the stuff we've talked this week. Started off the entire week, Monday, first segment. What'd you make of the Super Bowl? Both these guys. Game sucked. Season sucked. Game sucked. And that's how they began the week. That's how they began their Super Bowl analysis.
That's, I'd like to push back on that, but that's pretty accurate.
It's kind of, it's 100%
accurate. Yeah, it is. No,
I didn't say the game sucked. They said it was relatively mediocre Super Bowl.
Yeah. No, I mean, that was that, but that was the general tenor of the whole thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Ben Volen in the Boston Globe writes, in today's editions, Super Bowl was a fitting end to this mediocre season. Says the Rams 23-20 win over the Bengals in Super Bowl 56 wasn't exactly crisp or edge-of-your-seat thrilling. Nothing against the Rams and Bengals, but the game lacked dramatic storylines, and neither team seemed to play its best on the NFL's biggest stage. In that sense, Super Bowl 56 was a fitting end to the 2021 NFL season, which he thinks was purely mediocre.
Imagine that, Murray. There's a third person out there with a brain.
You want to jump in, Murray, and just give
me
a thought before you want?
The key line that he has in this story is run these playoffs 10 times. I'm not sure that the Rams win again, and that I couldn't agree with more. This is why yesterday we were tiering the teams at the end of the season. I have the Chiefs number one. The Chiefs, to me, were the most complete team for the second half of the season on. It's just they got skunked in the playoffs. I loved those two rounds of the playoffs, divisional round and the championship weekend. But overall, no, I agreed with this column. I thought the play was down. The officiating was over-officious and up way too much this regular season. And then this game on Sunday was close, but not that exciting. And the refs throw that garbage flag at the end to basically hand it to L.A.
I mean, to me, the team that should really be banging his head against the wall is Green Bay. Green Bay, to me, was the one team that I thought had a leg up on everybody else.
Don't get me started. Oh, and I'm just crestfallen that Aaron and Shalene are no longer. Oh, boy, I thought that one was meant to last. It could have bowled me over with a feather. You mean another fake girlfriend by the wayside? And I say fake. I mean, I don't. It's just one. It feels fake. I'm not saying that it is, but it just has that appearance. It's just one faux, beardy celebrity girlfriend after the next.
I mean, it wasn't a real relationship at the very least.
Based on what do you mean by that?
It didn't last.
I mean, none of them does. None of them do. Danica practice. Just like, can you Google it, Murray? I wish gossip mags back up here.
Hold on.
But just Google Aaron Rodgers' girlfriends. Like, they're all half famous, and they're it's all like, ooh, cool. Aaron Rodgers and Danica Patrick. Aaron Rodgers and this actress.
Olivia Munn was top notch.
Okay, Aaron Rodgers and another actress.
Jessica Zor.
There's a soccer player in there somewhere.
Olivia Munn, Kelly Rohrbach.
Who's that?
Kelly Rohrbach.
Used to play for Georgetown University's golf team.
Okay, golfer. There's a I thought
Danica
there was
Patrick.
Yeah.
Shailene Woodley. That's all I got from this page.
It's just one, you know, quasi celeb. It feels fake girlfriend after the next.
Olivia Munn should have been the keeper.
Oh, God. Can't make that work, then. what's the matter with you? But we've been asking that with him a lot, haven't
yeah,
we?
I think he has relationship issues.
He's got some issue, whatever. So, I really could have shocked me there that wasn't going to make it. Anyway, where was I? The Packers, of course, should be kicking themselves. Anyway, Volan writes, there were no dominant teams. The top teams in the AFC went 12-5, and in the NFC, 13-4. It marked the first time since 2014 and just the fourth time since 1990 that no team won 80% of its games. Both number one seeds lost at home in the divisional round. The Super Bowl matchup seemed like the result of a randomizer, with both number four seeds reaching the game for the first time. Okay. Does this mean the season was bad?
No. No. But I think...
I mean, isn't it nice that it wasn't just... Because I think like the previous 10 years before that, it was one seed, two seed, one seed, two seed, one seed, two seed. It was very predictable. There were no teams that came out of the wild card weekend that, you know, went to the Super Bowl or won, and very few. Like, it was really getting predictable there. And isn't it good that there are no dominant teams?
I mean, in one way, yes. But I would tell you, from a compelling entertainment product in the Super Bowl, right? Like, there is a sort of a logic to that NBA method of you want two of the two best teams in the Super Bowl. And there was no collision course this year between the power in the AFC and the power in the NFC. It didn't happen. So it was just a hard thing to latch on to, Mike, for most of America. Now, the hardcore football fan, I think the hardcore football fan enjoyed the postseason. The postseason was terrific. Terrific. But the season did lack some sort of, like, buzz factor. It was... You know, there just wasn't that great performance in there somewhere by one great team. It just wasn't there.
Overall, says Volan, it wasn't the crispest season, to your point. Scoring dropped from 49.6 points per game last season to 46. Considering that the NFL continually makes rules easier for offense, the drop in production is noteworthy.
I agree, because that's not defenses adjusting to what they were seeing the last few years. I just think it was poor quality of play, poor coaching, some suck quarterbacks, and some overall bad teams. I don't think it's better defense.
Yeah, I don't feel like the defense got better, but points did go down. That's fair. Penalties increased from 11.2 to 11.8 per game, and from 97 to 102 yards per game. There was also a striking number of blowouts in the regular season. 53 games decided by at least 21 points.
Oof.
That is the most since there were 54 in 2014. There were no dominant teams, but the bad teams were really, really bad.
That's 100% true.
I would agree with that, too.
So I just don't know if it was that much worse or that much better. The season, fine. I mean, was the level of play down? I suppose. I didn't notice it as much as you guys. I'm not going to fight it. The Super Bowl, on the Super Bowl itself, of course it wasn't the most crisply played game. And of course they weren't the most sexy teams. Of course. And there was a long stretch of that game where I said this the other day. The whole flow of the game felt like it went Bengals ball, sack, incomplete, sack, punt. Rams, short completion, run for nothing, 3rd and 7, incomplete, punt. Back to the Bengals. Sack, sack, punt. Back to the Rams. Run on 2nd down, punt. Back to the Bengals. Sack, complete for 8, sack, punt. Back to the Rams. Run on 2nd down for nothing, punt. Like, there were like 8 straight possessions where it went back and forth like that. Agreed. I know. Yes, of course. My issue is, or my point of this is, that's sports. That's why it's so good. You can't, it's not a script. It's not one of your Netflix shows. You can't just go back into the back room and write up what you want. It's not fake. It's real. That's what makes it great. There's resistance. And you don't know, it's human beings. It's in the ultimate reality, a real reality show, not your fake reality shows that you watch. The real, it's the real thing. So you can't just, it's not fiction. So sometimes guys aren't going to be at their best on the biggest stage or in the biggest moment. The lights are bright and some people tighten up. Or the other team gets paid too and they stop you. It's real.
Sure.
So that's what I like about it. And I feel like there's a lot of people, well, this sucked. It's like you're watching a Netflix show that's in its second season and they've lost storyline. You're like, this show sucks.
Yeah, but for me...
It's not like that. It's actual... that sports aren't like that. That's what I like about it.
And for me, half the fun of consuming content, especially sports, is dumping all over it. Hating is parting of living for me. In the Super Bowl, I'm going to watch regardless because the NFL has me over a barrel like everybody else. But just because I love football doesn't mean I'm not going to love it, no questions asked. I'm going to put my bitch on. I'm going to cross my arms. And I'm going to hope that they prove me wrong. And they didn't on Sunday night. So I'm going to hate it because hating is part of living for me.
So
I didn't like that game on Sunday. Wasn't that great?
The point is, compare it to other Super Bowls?
Yeah, I mean, yes. I'm not yelling at you. But I got you. I just feel it's sort of like the tone.
Yeah.
Like people show up the next day and bitch about the thing, like they didn't like the season finale of The Sopranos. Like it's not fiction. It's like you can't. And when the game's really good, you can really appreciate it because it's real. It's real. And when it's a little less than good, then it's a little less than good. But it's actually so. There's a reason for that, and that's why. I mean, that's why I watched the stuff in the first place. So, like, I can accept it. I can accept a few punts. I can accept some teams tightening up and not playing their best or it being sort of a mucky game because there's a reason for it, and it's at least it's real. And then the next game, when the teams overcome that and give me something really special, I know, well, that's real, too. That actually happened, and it's more rewarding that way. So, I don't know. Like, I don't know. It's just, I think there's just too many casual fans who watch the freaking game. And they treat it like they're just, it's another TV show, and it ain't.
Okay, so that part I agree with. But, you know, I'm trying to look at it from a football perspective, but I get your point.
Yeah, that's what sort of frustrates me. And I thought that was a game where every play mattered. When we were growing up, and this is a little bit before your day, Murray, but I'm sure you got some of it. When Maz and I were growing up, we're in our early 50s. The Super Bowl sucked every year.
It was brutal.
I can count on one hand how many I enjoyed in my childhood and have fingers left over.
You couldn't watch it after the second quarter.
It was 55-10 every year, it felt like.
I mean, it was useless. And, there were great teams and number one seeds and Hall of Fame players and Montana wasn't tightening up and the Giants weren't tightening up and all of this. But it wasn't a game. I couldn't watch it. You couldn't watch it. And so wouldn't you much rather have what you had the other night?
Oh, definitely. Compared to that, sure, yes. I mean, but, you know, again, I just overall, I'll give you another element that to me was a factor. I can't remember the last time I watched a Super Bowl that didn't have Tom Brady in it. So, like, I think that affected my mindset. Like, for the first time, I went into the game saying, I don't have a Patriots angle in it. There's no Brady. There's no Patriots. Like, now what? And there wasn't someone that beat the Patriots?
Well, you know what? And there's some of that going on here now, too. Like, usually we say that about the NBA. If your team's good in the NBA, you like the NBA. If your team sucks in the NBA, the NBA sucks. They don't play like they used to. We all suffer from that.
Definitely a factor for me.
And I feel like that might be happening here with the NFL a little bit.
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
If the Patriots played this season and went to the Super Bowl and it was the same kind of game, sack, punt, sack, punt, sack, punt, you would have sat there and gone, that was awesome. What a great year. What do you mean the year sucked? Your team's just not good. You know, maybe you've turned into that out there. But either way, what, you can't handle a few punts in a championship game that goes down to the last minute? I don't know what's the matter with you folks. All right, so anyway, that's just following up on that. We'll get back to your calls right after these words.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
This is the place Boston sports fans come to get some positive vibes for their teams.
Anything but. It's time to panic.
Maybe not. Now, back to reality with Felger and Maz.
Snap, here's the knee. The Bengals will not call a timeout. The sidelines empty. Rings for the Rams. A Lombardi Trophy for Los Angeles. 23-20 is the final on their home field here at SoFi Stadium in Super Bowl 56. The Los Angeles Rams are world champions.
A lot of people didn't like the game, which is fine, or which is fine, I suppose. It's like, it wasn't a great game. I know it wasn't a great game. I still liked the product. And I'm okay with every game not being a masterpiece. I'm way okay with it. As long as it's competitive. Like, those are the games that bother me. The non-competitive games are useless. I mean, as great as the Celtics were last night, you couldn't watch after halftime.
No.
What's the point? They were up 50 freaking points.
Oh, yeah. No, that game was over quick.
The Bruins-Rangers? That was a good game. Yeah. That was competitive. That was a good competitive take. And it was only 1-1, so it was no masterpiece. But it's like, I know you feel this way too, Maz. I mean, it's about the competition.
Absolutely. You got to have pushback. Yeah, you got to. And again, I don't think this was an awful Super Bowl. And it was competitive, which made it entertaining. And the finish was great. Great. Good theater at the end. But it did drag for a little while there in the middle.
All right. Back to your phones here, as promised. Rafi's in Brockton on the Celtics. Go ahead, Rafi.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah, I called a while back, and I had informed you guys that Brad Stevens is going to be the GM. And it just ties into what I'm about to talk about. And there's a San Antonio Spurs connection to this. So Danny Ainge had made a comment during the introductory press conference for Brad Stevens, and he said that Brad Stevens is going to end up doing both in terms of being the GM and being the coach if there was an issue. So I think what took place was they gave Ime Udoka up until the trade deadline, actually until the All-Star break, and they were gonna actually fire him. And they were going to have Brad come back into play and be the coach. So Ime ended up talking to Greg Popovich, who's part of USA Basketball, and he talked to Tatum, Brown, and Smart and told them that they need to, you know, do what they needed to do to get Ime successful.
Well, let me just stop you, Rafi. That is plausible to me. I can just see the scene where Udoka goes to Brown, Tatum, and Smart and says, guys, if you don't want old G. Willikers here back behind the bench, start moving the ball or else he's going to can my ass. Like, I wouldn't rule that out.
No, me neither. And this is Jimmy Stewart's theory.
Yeah, well, Jimmy didn't have the piece of Brad Stevens coming back down.
Correct.
But that Udoka's job security wasn't as rock solid as we might have thought early in the year.
So, I look at it as you guys wanted Udoka. You didn't want Stevens in there anymore, and then you wouldn't play for him. So now they're going to fire Udoka. Who's it on now? Like, why is it never on these guys? And I think they woke up.
Wyatt's in Somerville. Hi, Wyatt.
Hey, guys. Appreciate the show. Felger, I do want to point out earlier today you spoke on Twitter or about these guys being motivated on Twitter. You're spot on there. I would give them all the credit for coming back, but all the credit for blowing the earlier part of the season. As far as the playoffs and the Celtics moving forward, I have one expectation. They need to make the finals. Anything below that is not considered success. They've gotten to the Eastern Conference twice now, and they haven't been able to get past it. They technically have playoff experience at this point, so, and it seems like the Heat and the Cavs, they should roll over.
Wyatt, anything short of the NBA Finals is, I mean, I'm not going there.
No, me neither.
Oh, come on.
It's all matchup dependent.
Yeah, let me see what it is. if the Bucks get their crap together and look like they did at the end of last year, there's no shame in losing to the defending NBA champion in the middle of their run. If Brooklyn is fully healthy and loaded, there's no shame in losing to Kevin Durant, the best player in the league.
I know you feel differently. I don't think there's any shame in losing to Philly this year with the way that Embiid is playing and now that they have Harden.
I do.
If it comes together, they could be really good, but I need to see it come together there.
You're better than Philly. You're better than Philly.
But your Chicago's, Miami's, Cleveland's, teams like this, you can't lose to those teams in the playoffs.
They should be
if you're
going to
be playing like this.
They should be one of the top four teams in the East.
Easy.
Yeah, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, the Celtics, and then Miami, maybe Philly, whoever, but they're on that cusp in that area.
Stephen in Boston, go ahead, please.
No, not so.
Oops. I'm sorry, Stephen. That was my fault. You can call us back. 617-779-0985. Chris in Everett. Go ahead, Chris.
So I know we're not at the offseason, but the way the Celtics are playing kind of changed how I view them, which was that they had to get a third star to kind of be with these two in order for them to be eventually successful. But at this point, I mean, looking at the team, is it more reasonable for them to kind of try to get auxiliary pieces that just fit a role instead of trying to squeeze in another guy who's a ball-dominant player like Bradley Beal?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure they need a third piece. Bucks don't need a third piece. Drew Holiday is not a third. I mean, he's not a number three. I think Middleton's even a poor man's number two. So you don't need. I mean, I don't think you need a third piece. If those two are as good as they should be, that's enough.
Yeah, the league's more balanced than it has been in a while. And the other thing is, look, Robert Williams is kind of a factor. You know, I don't know if I would call him a third, third guy, but he plays both ends of the floor. He doesn't need to shoot a lot. I saw some stat on Twitter the other day, but I would love for someone to validate, if they can find it, that he has the highest offensive rating of any player ever.
Who's this?
Robert Williams.
Well, I mean, if it's just alley-oop dunks.
I know. I want to know what factors into that and whether that's true. Like, it's time, points per how often you handle the ball and you add assists
and everything else. Yeah.
Like, I would want to know, what does that mean? Someone tell me what that means.
Well, wasn't, this is going way back. If you remember this reference, good for you. Didn't Jordan Mickey set another record like that as well?
Similar kind of player, now that you mentioned it.
But a similar kind of stat.
Yeah, right.
That's the one.
Right. The highest efficiency, highest offensive rate, or whatever it was.
Something is one of these.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, so maybe in retrospect, explain that, how stupid that stat is to me.
But I don't know. I mean, this I'll say about the rim running and the alley-oop dunks. I'm now seeing them in the second half and fourth quarter, where before, he'd have one in the first 5 minutes. The NBC Sports Boston broadcast would spend the next 2 hours, oh, you see the dunk, Ford, tough player, the dunk, he dunked so much, and they'd lose by 15. I'm like, why you keep showing me the stupid dunk? I'm not 12 years old. Tell me why they lost the game. And it's all that, I never saw the alley-oop to Robert Williams when it mattered. When the game was on the line, I didn't see that happening. Now I am. Now I see it in the second half of the fourth quarter.
I think it was in the Denver game. They had a good one in the Denver game with
Derek White. Oh, but there was one from Derek White that was phenomenal.
Oh, my gosh. And, I think it feels like Williams gets 15 rebounds a night now. I mean, he doesn't, but it feels that way.
All right, we continue with your thoughts on this. I have a Bruins minute for you as well, coming off of last night. We mentioned last night's game. Entertaining 1-1 hockey game. A lot to talk about there. We'll do it right after Big Jim Murray gets you updated.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
In
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
This is a purely a take that exists in my head.
Getting into your head.
Tell you what's in our head.
With hot sports takes.
And we share it with you.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Miller, big left-handed D-man. Skips to the center circle and scoops up the puck. He'll wheel into the slot. Tries to settle it. Shoots, he scores! He shoveled it inside the near post after it looked like he almost lost it in the slot. And the Rangers win a 9-round shootout, come from behind and beat the Bruins here at Madison Square Garden. Your final tonight, Rangers 2, Bruins 1 in the shootout.
Okay, here's a Bruins minute for you. I was moderately pleased with that game last night. Moderately. I'm not going to go crazy. They lost.
Third period in overtime and the shootout were fun.
Go ahead, Murray.
It was wildly entertaining. It was just like back and forth. And considering the depth or lack thereof of the Bruins right now, I initially went into that game thinking they're going to get killed by this Rangers team because the Rangers are good. And they hung with them.
I thought they were going to get killed.
Yeah, me too.
So the Rangers are in sort of a funky spot. I guess they hadn't played in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So maybe got them on a good night. Be that as it may, the Rangers are good. Rangers have been a good team all year. And you're obviously depleted, and I think you're going to fold your tent. You know, it didn't look so good, and it still doesn't, but, you know, the thing last week where it's like Rask retires, Bergeron gets hurt, Marchmont punches the goalie in the back of the head, and they blow a lead to the Penguins, then they lose 6-0 the next night.
To Carolina.
It's like, all right, well, Marshy and St. Patrice lost Tukes, and now Pasta's going in the tank because they don't have Tukes, and it's all over. Like, I sort of felt that way last week. And since then, they beat an Ottawa team who they should beat, and then they hung in there last night. And that's all I'm asking right now. Hang in. Show me something. Show me that you give a crap and you want to have a season.
Yeah, to get a point against that team last night, that's kind of a win for me.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I give them credit. I thought that after that Carolina game, I went, uh-oh.
Same.
And the Ottawa ones.
What are you supposed to take out of that?
Yeah, look, they get the points in the Ottawa game. Don't get me wrong, but it was hard to put a lot of stock in it because of the opponent. Anyway, go ahead.
So, either way, so it looks like they're going to try and grind their way through it, which I wasn't necessarily expecting or would not have been surprised if they don't. You know, I couldn't have guaranteed they would have tried to grind their way through this little spot in the season. But apparently they are. So, good. All right. The chance we're going to have a season and, you know, they'll be, something worth watching in the playoffs. And I think the Bergeron news today was excellent. Not a concussion.
Correct.
That's huge. Because we know his history with concussions. I know he personally takes concussions seriously. He's not one of these guys that's going to push the envelope with that.
And he shouldn't, given his history.
Like the Rangers goalie?
Well, I'll get to that in a second. Especially when this could be his last year anyway.
Absolutely.
If he's hanging it up. Now he's going to risk getting his brains beaten in and serious long-term damage and what's his last year anyway? Like, the concussion thing with him is like, oh, man. But it's not. Must have been a shoulder or something. That's excellent news for them. Okay. The third bit of excellent news is that Swayman is coming into form. He was outstanding last night.
He was good. Again, I was kind of going back and forth a little bit, but the parts I saw, he made one save in the second period that I went, oh, my God, wow. So, he was moving right to left, had his pad on the ice. It was a terrific save.
He shuts out the Senators, almost shuts out the Rangers last night. Like, that's part of what you need here in this stretch. Grinding out some wins and a goaltender standing on his head. And so now that we're done with Tukes, we can get Jeremy Swayman real minutes, a real rhythm, and maybe he can emerge into the guy we think he is. And it still sucks that Linus Ullmark is here. But at least the decks are cleared for a really talented young guy to get on a roll, get on a rhythm, and that changes the outlook of the team, too. Now, the actual game, boy, you're right, the overtime, that was fabulous. That was one of those balls to the wall, back and forth, tremendous overtime situations. And then Shesterkin, okay, so it follows a really funky little sequence there where Craig Smith tries to pick the puck up and literally shove it into the net with his hand, which they ultimately called. But in the course of that, Shesterkin, who's, by the way, awesome too.
He was good.
He's going to win the Norris. I mean, he's going to win the Vezina. That's your Vezina Trophy winning goalie right there. It's the best goalie in the league. He takes a tumble. And the Craig Smith thing happened like with just over a minute left in overtime. I think at the next whistle, they pulled him off. It wasn't right there after that scrum. It was like the next whistle. The concussion spotter calls down and pulls Shesterkin off the ice. At which point he throws a nutty. He slams his stick into the boards.
That's great.
And they have to put in the backup goalie who finishes the overtime. And as a Bruins fan, they cut to break and then they come back for the shootout. And you're like, okay, great. Now here's the shootout with their backup goalie who's cold as ice, just got into the game. You know, big advantage for the Bruins. No, it's Shesterkin who's back. Looking all weird and bug-eyed. But that must have been the quickest concussion protocol in the history of concussion protocols. Why are you laughing?
Because I have a hard time believing he cleared it that fast, obviously.
No, there's no shot. Aren't you supposed to get like 15 minutes in a quiet, dark room?
Yeah. Yeah, the quiet room.
He answered a questionnaire.
He wrote on it, I know Putin.
Here's his quote. I don't understand the protocol. Because he was back in 40 seconds. Which again, like, is that even enough time to shine a light in your eye? I don't understand the protocol. With 40 seconds left, let me finish. There was a questionnaire. I answered the questions. Like, what kind of questionnaire are we talking about? There was a questionnaire. I answered the questions. I got out in time to make all those saves in the shootout. Obviously, each save gives you more confidence. Even if you let one through, you have to push those away and get ready for that shot. Blah, 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 blah. So he said he went in there and answered a questionnaire. That must have been a lightning quick questionnaire, man.
Oh, yeah. No. It must have been like, you know, again, applying for citizenship.
No. I think he gave the concussion spotter a wedgie and ran out of the concussion room. Like he pulled his jersey over his head and shoved him into a locker and ran back out of the ice.
Definitely threw him in a dumpster.
Okay, so I'm not morally outraged that the concussion spotter or the NHL may not have been totally on the ball there. There was 40 seconds left in the game. He was continued like.
Yeah, I have no problem with it. Frankly, I wish all these leagues would adopt it. You good? You're going to take the personal responsibility for this? Yeah, all right, then get back out there.
Right, okay. So I guess it's a bad break for the Bruins or not. I don't know. With the way they approach the shootout, does it really matter who the goalie is? Final topic. You could put Stu in net. And I think half of their shooters are just going to skate right to the goalie and shoot it right into his pads. And Stu would be able to stop half of the Bruins players on the shootout because they don't do anything. All they do is float over the blue line and shoot it directly into the goalie's pads.
So DeBrusk, of all people, was the only one who scored, right?
No, it was DeBrusk and Coyle.
Oh, Coyle.
Who was their best player last night, by the way. But so I know, and I've been informed that there was a lot of bitching on Twitter about Bruce Cassidy's shootout lineup, to which I feel like saying to these people, who did you want him to put out there? They don't have anybody. But it was comical. It was one hack after the next. You know, so DeBrusk scored a beauty on his first shot, and Coyle scored a beauty on his shot. The third one to tie it, like it was kind of a clutch shot by Coyle. And frustrating to see both of those guys do that. It's like, oh, so you do have it in you. Both of you, DeBrusk and Coyle, big teases those two. But you see it in the shootout, the soft little hands, little flick up into the upper corner, like beauty, goal score kind of goals, high end, high skilled kind of goals. Like, oh, so you guys can do that. Either way, DeBrusk, Pastrnak skates right into the goalie, throws it right into his glove. Coyle, all right? After that, the order was Howla, Taylor Hall, Charlie McAvoy. Then we got to the Trent Frederick Foligno pairing.
Frederick looked like he wanted no part of it.
Skates right over the blue line, doesn't make a move, throws it right into his pads.
I mean, that's brutal.
I think Frederick and Foligno both did the same thing, and then they went to Craig Smith. So there was bitching about Cassidy's shootout order. But it's like, who'd you want him to go? I said last night, it's like he has Guy Lafleur sitting there on the bench. He's burying him. Who do you want him to put? Anton Bleed?
Okay, Frederick would be one of the last guys I picked.
Okay, well, you tell me. Curtis Lazar or Frederick?
Lazar.
No. Frederick. Nosek or Frederick?
Nosek.
Nosek.
Okay.
So Mike, Frederick's the last guy I'm picking. He's a freaking cobbler. He should be fixing shoes somewhere.
Derek Forbort?
Okay. Frederick. Well,
Forbort may have more goals than Frederick this year, now that I think of it.
That one, I take Frederick.
Carlo? Clifton? Who did you want?
Okay, those guys are out. Grizzlick.
The 2 second guesses are Stanika. Who, I'm sorry, I haven't seen him make an offensive play all year.
I'd still go Stanika there.
Or Grizzlick, who, of course, is a defenseman.
Yeah, but he's got some skill.
Some. I don't know. It's like, what is Cassie supposed to do there?
Mike, to use your term, Frederick is a plumber. Okay, he's a plumber. The idea of Trent Frederick being in any kind of shootout, you really should just say, we're sending Frederick, but we're not actually going to put him on the ice. We're just going to concede his turn.
That little pairing there, when they went, McAvoy, who does deserve it, you know.
He's pretty good at it, yeah, I think.
But a defenseman. You go, defenseman, Frederick, Foligno. Like, oh my God, you suck. You have no good players.
But any of them, do they actually practice these shootouts or breakaways? Do they watch film of other attempts? It just feels like there's like
one
zero effort
hack after the next. Coming over the boards and doing nothing. Like, you at least got to try, guys. You at least got to try and either deke the goalie or hit a corner.
Open up the five hole.
Do something. They just float in and throw it right into the goal. It's the most unimaginative, weak-ass shootout attempts you will ever see. Okay, so anyway.
There's your typical Bruins.
Though. There's your Bruins minute. Long commercial-free segment is next.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Felger and Mass.
They've been incredibly consistent.
The only thing that's consistent is their inconsistency.
I don't think that's inconsistent.
Yeah, which is exactly what Murray said.
Am I misinterpreting?
No.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Over the line, far side. We got a 2-on-1. Here's Panarin. Shoots. And Swayman held his ground, made the save. A cherry picking is Panarin. He'll walk into the slot. Shoots. Swayman the save.
Good chances from both teams. Panarin on the breakaway. Got behind everybody that time after the Bruins had an opportunity. Gets this long pass. Tried to go blocker side. Swayman up to the task there.
Last year's Norris Trophy winner. Stick handles over the line right side. Into the circle. Now to the middle. Backhand, forehand, and Swayman shut him down at the far post. Edel twirls the stick, grabs the puck, skates over the line right side, into the right circle, walks in, backhand, and Swayman dragged the left leg and kept it out of there.
Yeah, tried the Forsberg move, bringing it to his forehand, and then with one hand on his stick, back to the backhand, and Swayman doing the split.
Scoots over the line, into the near circle, now twirls back to the middle. Fakes, shoots, Swayman at the last second, kicked out the right leg.
I think Jeremy Swayman's been the story the last couple games. And I'll say this, I don't think the Bruins have much of a chance to do anything. But whatever slim chance they do have, it's on him. It's on Swayman. I think he's their only hope. Because the team's just not good enough for them to get okay. You know, they're not like the St. Louis Blues a couple of years ago or, you know, whatever. A great team who only needs good goaltending. No, the Bruins are going to need great goaltending. They're going to need their goalie to stand on his ass.
I mean, they're going to need the goaltender to bail out the decor, not the other way around.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Exactly right. The opposite of the Blues. That's what I meant to say. Now, the Blues weren't a great team. They had a great decor.
Their decor was awesome that
so,
year.
So they didn't need great goaltending. You need great goaltending. If you have any chance of doing anything, and again, I don't think you have much, but it's about him. And so it's good to see they've cleared the decks and feels like they're kind of going with him. You know, they gave him two straight starts. I'm curious what happens tomorrow night on the island. It's not like you need the points. You know, you're all sort of firmly in the playoffs. But it's like, you know, establish a guy here in the second half and let everyone know, him know that he's the guy.
Definitely. And look, I'll tell you again, I sort of was bouncing back and forth. But the parts that I saw, if he plays like he played last night, you know, they'll give someone a run.
So the shootout, the last question for you is on the shootout. Should they change the rules? Because once you got it went to the bottom of the ninth. It went nine rounds. You know, any team, once you get to your fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth shootout participant, you're really scratching the surface. When you get to the Bruins' fifth, sixth guy, you know, you're talking about the guy who should be playing at Hockey Town in Saugus. Like, it's a joke. Trent Frederick and why am I forgetting Foligno's first name now all of
Mike.
A sudden? Mike, you know.
Nick
Foligno, Trent Frederick, you know, choosing between Stanika and Grizzly. It's like, come on. Like, it gets really silly. When you get in that 6, 7, 8, 9, should they change the rules, maybe do Olympic style, where after the first three, you can send the same guy out there every time?
No.
You like this?
I do.
You had watched the whole thing, it wasn't...
It's funny, though.
It was more funny than entertaining. It got a little arduous.
But I also think what it does is test the depth of a team. So it's only a point at the end of the day.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
So, you know, so what? If you have one good goal scorer, you can send him there all the time and you win the game. Like, I don't like that.
And how often does it happen that you're going that many rounds? Doesn't feel like much.
But I will say, the Olympic one was cool when Oshie did it.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
I mean, that made TJ Oshie.
It was Oshie, and then Russia would throw out either Pavel Datsyuk, or I can't remember who their other... They used two guys. The U.S. just kept sending out Oshie, who scored every time.
It was unbelievable.
It was tremendous.
It was unbelievable.
So, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't be opposed to after, say, five or, you know, six. You get into some really scrubby sort of, you know, shooters when you get down in that range. That thing last night, wow.
Jack Ockhan. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, no, here comes Forbort. All right, back to your phones. Bob in Old Orchard Beach. What do you got, Bob?
All right, here you go. You're talking about the shootout, which prompted another subject, and that was Swayman. Which prompted another subject, which was...
Bob, give me the subject you want to talk about, please.
All right. Cam Neely and Ball and Sweeney. These guys are not capable. They benched Swayman, which is one of your bright stars.
Agreed.
Right? They sent him down.
Yep.
So now...
They butchered they bollocks the whole goalie thing, Bob.
They really did.
I'll just stop you. It's just... They bollocks the whole thing. They rode Tuukka Rask way too hard at the end of last year, deferring to the guys in the room and riding Tuukka, who clearly wasn't right, circled the drain with a goalie that wasn't even healthy, never mind in the right state of mind. Who the hell knows with Rask? They let him go. They overpay for a free agent who may not be that good, all the while sort of burying the young kid who's probably the best guy that they got. They trade away another young guy for a third-round pick who's been just fine, would have been a very good backup for you at no money. They could have used that money to, you know, the whole thing. We've given this to you a million times. They bollocks the goaltender thing like you read about.
Oh, they butchered it completely, and the worst part of the whole thing is Allmark. That's the worst part of it, the money they spent on Allmark. Because they could have just gone with Swayman, and it doesn't bother me that much that they sent Swayman down, because he's back. He doesn't look any the worse for wear, so that's all fine. But the Allmark part of it, that's lasting damage. That's money you can't use anywhere else now. That's a problem.
Kevin's in Boston with the Celtics talk. Go ahead, Kevin.
How you guys doing?
We're good. What do you got?
Okay, so I completely do not trust Marcus Smart at the moment. The guy is too much of a hothead. I liked what you said, though, earlier in the show about how, based on the way Marcus Smart's been playing, it definitely has a big part of this winning streak. So let me ask you this question. You guys said that about a couple hours ago that maybe Marcus Smart stepped up his game because he thought he could be traded. Now, that to me shows that the guy has loyalty to the Celtics, and he definitely has a sense of leadership. If he can keep his head out of his ass and continue to play the game the way he's playing it right now, is that a guy that you necessarily want to get rid of?
Yeah, no. If he accepts his role, then he's someone you want on your team.
Absolutely. It's all about him understanding what his role is. This is the key to the whole team, really. It's about all of them understanding that. So it's about sharing and relying on one another, and you fill your gap, and then when they need you to shoot, you shoot. That's what the whole thing in Smart's case. If they figure it out and they learn that as a collective they're better off, they'll be pretty good.
Okay, get back to your phones. Bruins, Celtics, we have some Patriot sauce to mix in as well next hour. First, an update from Murray. It takes 90 seconds. There are no commercials.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.